lesson 14 today, and we left off in verses chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, and we went over that extensively last lesson, and the fact that, hey, there's some barriers here that wasn't pleasant to us. Now, us meaning we was Gentiles. We wasn't part of the nation Israel. If you think about it, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcised, circumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. You know there's some name calling going on there. And that's not good, is it? You got a group of people pointing fingers at this group and calling them uncircumcised. You got a group of people pointing their fingers at this group and calling them circumcised. You know, they was like calling each other dogs and stuff like that, and that looks bad. And you would think, how in the world people would even do that? Well, you live in a world today people does that, don't you? You know, it's sad. But they don't understand without this change. It says, verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Have you ever read that? That's not good, is it? So I'm not going to rehash that, but that's the fact that that's how we were. And there was a dispensational division between God's people, the Israelites, and the nations. Verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh, how? By the blood of Christ. There was a spiritual wall there between Israel and all the other nations. But think about this a minute. This is a dispensational change whereby the whole world had an opportunity, or now has an opportunity, to be saved. They don't have to go through a nation to be saved. They go through the Son of Jesus Christ. In other words, the wall of partition is down. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now, if you know the verses in Isaiah 57, won't turn there for the sake of time, and Acts chapter 2, you know that God was working through Israel, and through Israel, they had the promises, right? They had, there was the holy nation and all. Verses 14. For he is our peace who have made both one. How? How did he make it both one? By taking away the division, okay? Abolished in his flesh. For he is our peace who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain, one new man, so making peace. He abolished in his flesh. Where did he do that at? And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as he's walking, you know, teaching the 12 not to go to the Gentiles?
No.
Where did he do it at? At the cross, didn't he? At the cross. And the enmity, you know what that is? That's hatred. That hatred that he had, or the nation Israel had. Even the law of commandments. You know, God, and you know this, separated Israel out, didn't he? In times past, to be a channel of blessings to who? The world, the nations. And however, Israel did not just go and be and do and become what God made them, did they? You know that. They've fallen. They fail. But much like today, we as members of the body of Christ, let me ask you that. How are you doing with that? Should you just act and function and position that God has made us? That's where we should be, right? And that's why we're in the book of Ephesians right now, because it's dealing with who you are in the eternity, where you're going to be seated. The Lord Jesus Christ abolished the law. He did away with it and all religious ordinances. Now, it might be hard for some of us to understand that, because who Jesus Christ is, what the law is. You go down the streets, you got 10 commandments and posted in people's yards and things like that. But look at this. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwritten writing of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. Now, what do you know about handwritten ordinances that was against us? You should know a lot, because the law and ordinances and religious rights and things like that was against us. Mm-hmm. He says, and took it out of the way. How did the Lord Jesus Christ take that law and ordinances against us out of the way?
Nailed it to the cross.
He nailed it to the cross. That's very good. He nailed it to a cross. In his flesh, he abolished the law. That's what we read over in Ephesians. And what did he do? He nailed it to his cross. And if he nailed it to the cross, what happened to that cross after he was nailed to it? He what? He died, didn't he? Mm-hmm. So that abolishes in those ordinances. It died too. It died with that. Verse 15. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or a new moon or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. Those religious ordinances are not the program for today, according to this. Okay? Now, I know a lot of people just looks over at it and just keeps moving, and they don't think about it no more because they're deep in their traditions. Some of us was deep in our traditions, you know, of religious traditions, and we just didn't care because we thought it was right. I watched a thing on Facebook this morning. You know, I followed some friends and stuff like that, and they had this little boy. He's all dressed up, and he was doing this and shaking and, you know, trying to speak in tongues, and he was just shaking there, and they was coaching him, and they was videotaping this. And, you know, and the caption said, you know, watch what goes on around him. You know, it would just, you know, make your spine curl and, you know, all this stuff. All of a sudden, dust particles started flying around. They thought it was the Holy Ghost, you know, and all that stuff. I'm just watching that. I'm thinking, this is sad. This is law and ordinances, guys. These are people that's doing that. Colossians chapter 2, verse 20 says, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to what?
Ordinances.
Touch not, taste not, handle not, what which all are to perish with using, with the using, after the commandments of the doctrines of what?
Man.
Who's doing this?
Man.
Who's teaching the ordinances today?
Man.
God's not doing it. But you say, oh, but he's a man of God, don't you? You know, and he won't lie to you. Now, how many's been fooled with that before? I have. You know, then it makes you want to, you know, look at the word. Man teaches the ordinances. And I know how easy it would be to teach ordinances. You know, you could put people under tithing ordinances, could you not? You could put people under work ordinances. You could put people under anything to make people feel guilty and have control over them. We're not supposed to have dominion over one's faith, but what? To be
helpers of your joy.
Right? Mm-hmm. Helpers of your joy. And I hope you see that with our group here. Because, you know, we're not going to condemn you. We're not going to, you know, just make you feel bad. You know, if you feel bad, you feel bad. You know what I mean? You must have ate something that I cooked the other night or something like that if you feel really, really bad. But think about this for a minute. You want to remember that. Man's doing those ordinances out there. And that's why it's important to discuss and point out those things, but maintain the liberty from religious ceremonies and ordinances from the past. You know, there's been probably at least 100 people come through here in 10 years that find out that you don't water baptize. You know, or you don't find out that you don't believe the 12s in the body. Or you don't believe in tithing the way the Old Testament ordinance is. You know, and you sit there and you try to share to them, I do believe in baptism. Or we do believe in baptism. Mm-hmm. you know, and that type of thing. But so you people's caught up in those ordinances. But what does verse 16 say? Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or inspector of a holy day or of new things of the Sabbath days. You know any people does that?
Yes.
You do, don't you? And it's not just the one that wears a big C on her back either. You know, there 90% of your denominations out there somehow, some way will hold you to this. And he says this, which, what's that next word?
Are.
A shadow of things to come. You notice it didn't say which were. That's a big difference, isn't it? Mm-hmm. A shadow of things to come. These ordinances that they're talking about back here under the law taught people doctrine about something that was to come. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
To come over here. Not now, but to come. Who's writing the book? That should tell you something. What time period is he in? Yeah, he's right now. This is present. And in the present book of Colossians, doctrine for today and these things that was back here are right now a shadow of what? To come. Now, do you know where you find those things at? Those about the holy days and the meat and the drink and the new moon and the Sabbath days?
Under the law.
Under law. But in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44 through 47, you'll see that going to take place over there.
Yeah.
And yes, prophecy. And you'll find that. If you read Ezekiel, go to Ezekiel chapter 45. I haven't heard no pages turn yet, so we might as well turn a few. Ezekiel chapter 45. Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 17 says,
Ezekiel 45.
Yeah, I'm in Isaiah 45. Ezekiel 45, right after Isaiah. Ezekiel 45, verse 17 says, and it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings and meat offerings and drink offerings in the feasts and in the new moons and in the Sabbaths and in the solemnities of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering and the meat offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings to what? Reconciliation of the house of who? Where is that going to take place at? And who says it's going to do it? The prince says. Now go to Isaiah chapter 66. Go back one book to the left. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verse 23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon unto another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all the flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Now, where's that going to take place at? Isaiah 66, verse 23. It's not happening now, is it? You know that, but I guarantee you, turn on TV and go up and down the highway, you'll find people saying it's happening today, and you should continue to do that.
Yeah.
And you should continue to support people that does that. But that is ages to come, and you find those things mentioned in the passage are things that will, once again, and be operated in the kingdom with that distinction is put up again. When you think about after we're taken out of here and God goes back dealing with the nation Israel, there's still going to be a division back in the land, guys. It has to be for a season. Okay? And we think about Colossians 2:13. Well, you know, the religious ordinance will be operating in the kingdom. Right? They're going to be doing that thing. And they will be no longer be operating on the basis of that old covenant. You know, the old covenant that we've been reading about? Mm-hmm. And the old laws? They're not going to be operating under that. It's gone. It's done away with. It was nailed to God, Christ's cross. But they're going to be put under a new testimony, a new ordinance, a new set of covenants. And it's called what we call what? The Messianic. The Mosaic's gone. But yet, what does 90% of people try to put you out there under? That Mosaic law. You ever notice that? It's gone. And the ceremonies and the memorials that's going to be offered right here in that kingdom, even though the one that died for them on the cross, they still have a memorial for him and does those ordinances. Why? I guess to show obedience to him. But they don't go back under the old covenant and laws. That ceremony correctness goes back and forth right back over here in the kingdom. And they're going to get it right this time. Because the Lord's sitting on that throne, and they're going to do it the way they're supposed to do it. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verse 17. Go back there. Is a verse that most people never notice. And we just read it when it said, Colossians 2:17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The law, as well as the prophets and the prophecies of that kingdom. Remember what Jesus said? I come not to destroy the law, didn't he? And the prophets, but I have come to what? Fulfill them. And the way he will fulfill them is that picture of ahead of time when he takes care of it over here. See? All the laws of God was inside Jesus Christ. And we, and here's something you got to think about. Do you follow the laws of God today? Paul talks about the law of Christ. And he talks about the law of God. Okay? When you put your identification in Christ and he fulfilled that, you are complete in him understanding those laws and ordinance and all that stuff. So you don't have to go out here performing them. He's done it for you. And that law of God that he puts in your innards, knowing the true right from wrong and how to deal with things, you get it through the Word of God today. And you think about the way he fulfills the prophets is by setting up that kingdom over there that he's talking about. He come not to destroy the law. Law, as we know it through Paul, points us out to look for what? A Savior, don't it? That's what the law done. It showed them that they could never do it. And the things that the law typified back then in times past will be fulfilled over there. It says, which are a shadow of things to come. Where's God Almighty shining, and where's Israel? If Israel's right here and God's back here shining on them, where would the shadow be? Over here, right? So the things that they did right here is going to be completed over here. A shadow of things to come, of what they did. So you got to think about that for a little bit. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, the issue about the law is being set aside and done away with. You'll find that in Galatians chapter 4 and chapter 5. And it's a piece of information about the old covenant being fulfilled in Christ. And having its end, and so forth. There's something we got to understand about Paul's information that he's sharing here. Okay? And I believe this with wholeheartedly. You have a completed Word of God. And without Paul's revelation of the mystery program that you have in front of you, you couldn't complete the prophecy program in your understanding. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. See what I'm talking about here. Hebrews chapter 9. What do you know about the book of Hebrews?
It's to Hebrews.
It's to Hebrews. Very good. And we understand it to be a book of faith and a book of doctrine that the nation Israel, when they're stuck over here in this times of Jacob trouble, the 7 years of tribulation, they're just stuck over here. They're wondering what's going on. There are going to be 144,000 preachers out there preaching a message about that Antichrist, and they're going to use a book, guys. And they're going to understand the book of Hebrews as doctrine to them, as a transitional book from what that cross had accomplished for the nation Israel. And chapter 9, if you notice, the information affects the nation Israel. Chapter 9, verse 8 says, "The Holy Ghost, thus signifying that the way into the holiness of all was not yet made manifest, when as the first tabernacle was yet standing." What do you know about a first tabernacle? Where was it at? In the wilderness, in times past. Okay? And it says, "While which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience." Whoever was performing that, did it make them perfect? It didn't, did it? But they thought they did. They thought they did. And then it says, in other words, God, in times past, the tabernacle and the sacrifices that he offered couldn't take away sins and clear and gave them a clear understanding before God. That's sad, isn't it? You got to remember, God said, "Let me do it for you." And you got to remember, God looked at Israel as their little child. It was his firstborn, and he's taken, and just like a little, if I can say this without making anybody mad, a spoiled little brat, you know, won't, daddy, 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 I won't. He said, "Okay, here it is, but you're going to pay for it over here." You know, I've done that to my kids before. You know, my kids, I said, "You know, you're not going out and doing this, but daddy, daddy, would you rather have a spanking now or wait till you get back?" "I'll take it now, daddy. I'll take it now." You know, that's a kid. Because you know what? They want in their heart, they want what they want, you know, go out. But look, in verse 10, "which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings." There's your baptism, water baptism. And what was that next two words? "Carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of what? Of Reformation." Carnal ordinances are just some physical things that they were doing. People up here, cardinal, look at me. You know, somebody said the other day, well, they watched the whole service of that justice, chief justice that died. All flesh, all show, religious ceremonies and all that. What's verse 11 say? We're in Hebrews. Verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, but a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that to say, not of this building, neither by the bulls of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. What did bulls and goats do back there?
Sacrifice.
But it didn't mean a hill of beans, did it?
No, it was just a...
It just tells you what it is. "For if the bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purification of the what? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your consciousness from dead works to serve the living God?" This is what the Hebrews needed to know. Because over there, they thought everything they was going to do meant something.
By works.
By works. And by believing bulls and goats take away sins and all that stuff. It never did take away sins, guys.
It
just covered it. "And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So that Old Testament over there, which was the First Testament, it's going to be fulfilled over here in the New Testament through Jesus Christ and through His blood and all. And when the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary, He shed His blood, didn't He? Mm-hmm. And He says, this is the blood of the what?
New Testament.
The New Testament. And the blood that was shed for the transgressions under the Old Testament, He did away with the Old Testament. So it did cover them. And it gave, what the cross did, it gave the mechanism whereby the Old Testament could be replaced by the New Testament. If the cross wasn't worth anything, they'd still be offering sacrifices and stuff for their remission of sin. But you got to remember, it does mean something. A new covenant, one which will be completely and totally forgive sins. It forgives your and I sins today. The sin that would eternally separated us from God Almighty. That's what it paid for. And once that's paid for, it's settled. You don't have to keep running back to the altar and ask for repentance for God to save you when He already did. You know what I mean? It's finished. It's settled forever. Now, if you do somebody wrong, then you want to ask for forgiveness, right? That ain't got nothing to do with your salvation, though, see? That's got to do something with what's right in the laws of God inside of you. The old covenant in times past had all these things that they did that could not take away sins. It fulfilled them. And you think about when John the Baptist looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, you know, you should be baptizing me. You know, and people say, well, what? Jesus got baptized. Well, why did Jesus get baptized?
To fulfill all righteousness.
He didn't have sin on him. He's fulfilling all righteousness up to that cross. He's identifying himself with John the Baptist ministry. He becomes the priest of that time, the prophet, and he's telling people, this is what, believe in me. A lot of them didn't, did they? A lot of them didn't. They crucified them. And they were the only vehicle whereby a man could express their faith in times past. Now, many of us believe that. Many of us don't believe that. I just look at the fact that if a man really had faith in times past, and I posed this question to a lot of Bible scholars, you know, that believe that there's a distinction between salvation. The Old Testament people could lose their salvation, and New Testament people or body of Christ can't lose their salvation. And I'm scratching my head and thinking, if salvation don't mean salvation, then it don't mean salvation in any time. So I'm looking at this fact. I say, okay, you got a young man 20 years old. For the last 20 years, he brought sacrifice every year because he was told to do that every year. The 21st year, he's scratching his head and he's thinking, wait a minute now. Father Abraham believed God and counted for him for righteousness. Why am I doing this? And he stopped doing it and he died. Where would he be? Where would his soul be? A lot of people say he's in hell because he didn't do it by faith. He didn't continue to do it in faith. I'm scratching my head. I'm thinking, that's not faith. He believed. Okay? And I believe by doing the sacrifices and the ordinance that Israel's supposed to have been doing, it separated you. Now that's sanctification. But that's not what we're talking about. But I just think about those things. If you know Romans chapter 3, God worked on a forbearance system, didn't He? You remember what Romans chapter 3:25 says? It says, of whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of, well, who?
God
worked through a forbearance system in times past, knowing that Calvary was coming. And they know Calvary was coming. They had the word pointing that the cross is going to happen. But you know what? They didn't look for that, did they? When the time came, what did the nation Israel do? They rejected that. Mm-hmm. Knowing that Calvary was coming, God would see their faith And he would honor the faith through the lieu of the blood of Christ and justify those people. I know this is, you know, something to think about. We don't get into the Old Testament teachings that much. But you've got to understand what they believed in. You've got to understand that Jewish religion to understand what's going on today. You know, I look at religions out there today, they stem off the Jewish religion in that fact. They still want to put you under ordinances. They still want to make sacrifices. But where do you learn that about what we just talked about? You learn it through who? Paul. See, Paul gives you clarity of what's going on in time's past. He gives you clarity of what's going to happen in ages to come. And the new covenant is different in every than any other any other covenant that God ever made. It's different. You know why? The new covenant that he promised. You know where you find the new covenant with the nation Israel or the new covenant period? You know what books you find it in? You say Hebrews, you say Revelation. Where's that? Where do you find about the new covenant going to happen and take place?
Is it in the old covenant?
It's in the old covenant. That's where you find it. In Jeremiah 31, go there. Jeremiah chapter 31. Just remember, if I put you to sleep, I can wake you up.
Jeremiah what?
Jeremiah 31. The new covenant is different every way. Number one, the new covenant is all spiritual, guys. You know, we talk about us being spiritual and we don't have physical blessings. We got all spiritual blessings. We talk about the Holy Spirit coming on us and all that stuff and enlightening us. And we walk in a spiritual body. But look at this right here, Jeremiah 31:31. This is where you find the New Testament at. And in your Bible, you should have a little note of cross of that saying, this is where the New Covenant's found. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of who? Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. He knew they broke the covenant over there. He knew they wasn't, you know, a righteous nation. But he still was. He loved them, didn't he? He was a husband to them. But, verse 33, this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their heart and hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them until the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities and remember their sins. How many?
More.
That covenant that he puts in their hearts, that's spiritual, guys. That's not physical. That you ain't going to be able to see that. They're going to put it in their heart. Let me ask you something. I got to think about this morning. If God's going to do that to them, now picture this a minute. We talk about Israel being a physical nation, right, in times past. And they also was going to be a spiritual nation. They had it all. They had God. God gave them the laws, and they was a political nation too. But we also found out into your studies through the Old Testament that God left them politically. See, he gets up from the throne of God and he leaves. And they started following other gods and stuff like that politically. Spiritually, they fell right here with Jesus Christ. See, God still renewed them with trying to get them spiritually. They're going to be a spirit. But they, when Jesus Christ came, they did not recognize him, so they fell spiritually. And as you notice the book of Acts teaches you about a transition. It starts up here with Israel wanting to know if they're going to get their kingdom back. Then it goes down here in Acts 28:28. Lo, I'm going to the Gentiles. And it ends up in Rome. A Gentile capital. It starts over here in Jerusalem, Israel's capital. So as that transitional book starts, about mid-Acts period, is when Paul is raised up, and by Acts 28, Israel is no longer the favorite nation status, period. That's why the book of Acts, you got to look at it that way. It has more to do with the Israels and who they are than it did Gentiles who we are. So when people points out in Acts and they grab stuff out of there, they're grabbing it out of, I don't say ignorance, they're grabbing it out of a disparity to try to control people. You with me? But think about this for a minute. So God takes this program and puts it on hold, but he takes a group of Gentiles, he raises them up, and See, Israel is supposed to have been promoted to the nations to make the nation become a part of Israel. You know God switched that through Paul? So the Gentiles, the body of Christ is rising up. They begin to speak in tongues. They begin to do signs, wonders, and miracles. Israel stops doing it, and they're wondering, scratching their head. And Paul's saying, God's not with you no more. And they got jealous, and that's supposed to provoke the unsaved Israelites that wasn't under that kingdom program to become a part of the body of Christ. Now, I'm thinking about this very seriously, that when you have that spiritual connection, and we're supposed to be spiritual people, okay? Not so much physical, you're a body. We have arms, legs, and body, but you're more spiritual in aspect than physical. You with me? Okay? Shouldn't that provoke people to do the right thing to become who you are and what God is doing today? But when they come over here, getting back over here, Jeremiah 31:31, they are going to become spiritual, just like you and I are spiritual. You with me? Mm-hmm. You have the law of God inside of you right now. You have who you are in Christ made you. He sees you. You're part of him. Israel's not that way until they get over here. Now they're going to have that. You see what I'm saying? It seems like now it's going to go back to them again.
Only the remnant
has it. The remnant's going to do it. And there is no, look at this, what we just read. There is no legal stipulations that what we just read. There's no land. There's no throne. Did you read that in there? It's all spiritual. And it's all. And it enables them whereby the nation Israel is going to be able to receive the blessings under that new covenant that God's going to give them. You already, in the body of Christ, have a spiritual enablement with all spiritual blessings where?
In Christ Jesus. In heavenly places.
In Christ Jesus. You already have them all. Now, I know we can't fathom that because I'm scratching my head. Oh, wow, well, I have that Cadillac that always on it, that one that's got a V8 in it, goes 0 to 4, you know, goes 0 to 60 in 4 seconds. You know what I'm talking about? Am I going to have that to ride around? You know, you think of that, but what am I thinking? I'm not thinking with the mind of Christ, am I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And when God told Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, what seed, let me ask you this, I'm going to get ready to close on this. When God told Abraham, in thy seed shall all the nations be blessed, all the nations of the earth be blessed. What seed of Israel is going to be a blessing to anybody? Think about this a minute. You know the answer now, but what seed is going to be blessing anybody? Because isn't the seed of Israel also the seed of Adam? If you really think about it. So if you're waiting on to get a blessing from the nation Israel, knowing they was a part of who? Adam. What are they going to bless you with? They're going to bless you with anything, are they? You know, because one son of Adam, or can one son of Adam, be a blessing to another son of Adam? Now, I know my brothers look at me sometimes, boy, you're blessing Ed. You know, I know what they're saying down home. You're blessed a little heart. You know, I'm talking about it. It's like, you're blessing to me. I can say that truly to you guys. But for my brother to say that, you know, I can look at it and say, okay, I know what he's saying. You know, I'm saying the right things. I'm encouraging him, that type of thing. But what kind of blessings can you get from another son of Adam? Food, raiment, car payment, I don't know. You know, but it's not this type of blessings, is it? Mm-mm. So how does any have anything, he doesn't have anything to give you that God can give you, that Jesus Christ can give you. So how is the nation Israel ever become a blessing to the nations? Through the seed of Christ. When nation Israel in Christ can be that blessing, can't they? Mm-hmm. We noticed back over here in times past, that little flock right here, that little flock was in Christ. And they was becoming to be a blessing. And they was offering the kingdom out there. That's why Paul says, those that are in Christ before me. And we know Paul to be the first in the body of Christ. That's what the Bible says. So how can they be in Christ before Paul if Paul's the first one in the body of Christ? He's talking about a kingdom. He's talking about that kingdom. So the new covenant is the mechanism. And he says that Christ will bless them with the spiritual blessings of the new covenant, and which will enable them then to go out and be a blessing to the nation. Lord, thank you for so much in our life. Thank you for the blessing that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. That we can understand that through that blood, we have all spiritual blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.